So good evening, everyone. It's wonderful to see everyone online tonight. And I want to continue Michelle's theme from last week on the power of kindness, although this is presence as opposed to kindness, that's uplifting just with everything going on in our world today. So my title is Exploring God's Presence, and I want to talk a little bit about what it is and share a personal story where God's presence was very evident, and two stories that I found online. So one of them is an uplifting story of God's presence from a whole another part of the world that is under strife right now. And the last story is a short story, and it contains some scripture to help understand what presence is. So to begin, we may wonder, why do we need God's presence? And I will read to you some ideas that came to my mind just off the top of my head when I thought about God's presence. And then I'm going to read to you some words from a clergy person, a bishop, that he wrote about God's presence. So when I think about God's presence as of this writing, I wasn't thinking about the feeling of it. I was thinking more like, what is it, right? What is it? So the first thing I thought of is that it's very rock solid. It's more real than any person or anything that I can find in the world. It seems very real to me. And it is also probably the only thing I know for certain. And this kind of goes back to Brooke's sermon last year, which I really enjoyed, where she said it was something like, the only thing for sure is God. It's very similar to that to me. So I know it's always there, and it's never actually absent or veiled, but sometimes it's just that it seems like we can't see it. So some more things I think of when I think of God's presence. It can soothe us when we're scared or when we're sick. It can bring us peace in difficult situations. It can give us reassurance and comfort in a storm, a real storm or a life storm. It can guide us in an emergency. God's presence can tell us what to do when we feel lost. It can give us words to say to another person. It's always there in the background or as the foundation wherever we go. And it lets us see the world through a different lens. And it helps us to see truth and live from a place of truth. So here is what Bishop Julius Soyinka has to say about God's presence. It's a little more eloquent than what I just read off, because mine was a list that I just thought of myself. The first thing that the bishop says is, there is nothing as magnificent or glorious as a child of God carrying the presence of God with them wherever they go. So that is very true and very beautiful. There is nothing as magnificent or glorious as a child of God carrying the presence of God with them wherever they go. Then he says, the secret of success, victory, and unusual exploits that the anointed servants of God achieve in life is in fact that God's presence is always with them. So again, very true. Do you want to overcome great problems? Do you want to fulfill your divine destiny? You need the power of his presence. So it's right on. The lawless one cannot give divine presence. It is more costly than gold, and the people mourned when God's presence left them. And it didn't say where that was from, but I assume it's somewhere in the Bible, perhaps, that the people felt they mourned. God's manifest presence is the key to your undeniable breakthrough, without which it can never be possible. It is impossible to operate in the supernatural without divine presence. Having the presence of God with us is worth more than riches or fame or power. We can go anywhere when the presence of God is with us. So I was just really feeling like he's just spot on with these comments. I really enjoyed reading them. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy, but out of his presence, so without it, there is frustration, discouragement, sorrow, fear, sickness, sin, suicide, distress, etc. So those are a few ideas of maybe how God's presence could be defined. And I wasn't really thinking so much about how it felt. I was just more thinking just about God's presence and just kind of exploring it. So I looked up God's presence online, and there were several sermons about it and stories about it. And like Michelle found last week, I can't read them all. There's too many out there. I found out, though, when I was exploring God's presence, and this is kind of interesting, first of all, that I really liked it. I really was interested to explore it. And I don't think that I've ever tried to make a list before of what it is or think about what it really is. It's very intangible, right? So I hadn't really tried that before. And it's much broader of a topic than I would have guessed. I mean, it's really, really huge, which makes sense because God is in everything. So of course, God's presence is everywhere and it's in everything. So this is a rather large and broad scope. But I kind of feel like his presence could be maybe like a huge warm blanket that envelops every situation and every one of us all the time. And this blanket is always there for comfort if we want it. But probably what happens, at least for me, is that I can forget that there's this blanket, can kind of forget that it's there. So now I want to share a personal story of God's presence. And, you know, at first I was thinking, well, we could say that God's presence is everywhere in our lives at every moment. And that is incredibly true. I mean, we see God's presence outside in those beautiful pink blossoms. We see God's presence in the trees, in the sky, everywhere. Everything's shining with God's presence. But then I thought of a story, it's very recent, where God's presence was really shining. So I thought I'd share that. This just happened the end of last month, actually. So a few weeks ago, my cousin's wife texted me that my cousin was going to need to have spinal surgery, which is pretty serious surgery. He'd been having bad back pain for a while and some leg difficulties, and surgery was the only way they could fix this. So the cousins live in a tiny town in eastern Oregon, and for their health care, they go to Boise, Idaho. So my cousin's wife, she explained in the text that they felt good about the surgery, and they felt good about the surgeon. When they got to know her, they found out that if families want, she prays with them before they go into surgery. And she also learned that she prays during the surgery, the whole time she prays, which is amazing. So my cousins did ask in the text if we could pray, and of course, you know. So as I entered God's presence that day or immediately after receiving the text to pray, I felt such comfort and such peace. I felt warmth and comfort and healing, and it was beautiful. And I'm sure many of us have had that experience before, but that's just such a wonderful way to go into prayer and then to receive that comfort is just fantastic. So, the family is kind of this is the prayer-based side of the family. So as this was taking place, some texts every now and then, every once in a while, a text would come kind of with an update. The surgery on the spine was an excellent, excellent success. It was 5.5 hours long. And the surgeon said recuperation and everything would be great. However, a few days later, my cousin was back in the tiny town, and there was a side effect. There was a pulmonary embolism, which is when you have a blood clot in your lung. And they figured this all out at the little tiny ER. And late at night, I got a text from my cousin's brother asking if I could please pray because they were going to need to airlift him back to Boise because it was a very serious situation. So, of course, I said yes. And then it turned out that they couldn't airlift because of the weather. So the helicopter can't go sometimes. And this is Eastern Oregon, and we've all been having storms. So they were unable to go by air, and he had to ride by ambulance. It's very long and very bumpy and not an ideal situation when you've had your spine operated on. Although everything went well, he rode in the ambulance in the night on the road in a car ambulance. And by the morning, they had started a blood thinner on his blood to break up the clots. There was evidently more than one. And that, you know, that was kind of difficult because you're not supposed to have blood thinners, especially if they've operated on your spine. It's dangerous because you can bleed. So he was in, you know, critical care or ICU or something. I don't know. Anyway, what was very wonderful and also showed that God was in charge was that that day, that the next morning when he woke up, the pastors from his small church in Eastern Oregon happened to be in Boise. Of course, not a coincidence. So they were surrounded by loving pastoral care as well as good doctors. So I'm grateful to say that he recovered very well, and he's back home with his family, and all is well. So what I really liked about this story, kind of looking back in hindsight, was that initially when I heard this news, I felt so much of God's presence in that moment. And that was a beautiful thing because I was able to really pray and surround my cousin with healing and light. And it wasn't me trying to do it alone, and it was God working through me. And that was very evident. Then later when things got really rocky, and it was late at night and he needed an airlift and all of that, and nobody kind of knew what was going on, I realized in hindsight, I turned right to God for comfort. I turned to that presence for comfort. And initially it was for me because I was scared, you know, not knowing what was going on. And then I was able to pray because I was comforted by the presence. So another thing I really liked about the story is that my cousin's wife was feeling God's presence too. And in fact, while he was in the hospital, it was their wedding anniversary. And she texted that she went out, found a cute bistro and got herself a coffee, which was quite sweet. But it was to me evidence that she really felt God was in this and God's hand was in it and the presence of God was there. So it's just a really shining example of God's presence. So next, I want to share a story that I found. It's about another part of the world. It's the Ukraine. And God's presence was clearly felt. This is a story about a woman named Elena. And she is feeling God's presence even in the midst of destruction and terror. The author isn't named, but the website is called globalrise.org. The title is Olena, or Elena. It's spelled O-L-E-N-A, which is, I think, the Ukrainian name, Elena. We feel God's presence. Elena is an enthusiastic woman who began as our language team leader for the Ukrainian language team on September 1st, 2022. So this is the people at Global Rise speaking. At the beginning of the war, she fled from Ukraine to the Netherlands while her husband stayed in the Ukraine. But after several months, she returned to her country. Although she is experiencing the war up close, she testifies, "We feel God's presence and love like never before." The situation in Ukraine is becoming more and more grim, Elena says. According to Elena, the infrastructure and also residential buildings, hospitals, kindergartens, and schools are being destroyed. And electricity, heating, and internet are often unavailable. Not afraid. This does not mean that Elena and the people around her are in despair. Each missile and every explosion gives us even more confidence in victory. We are not afraid. We are getting stronger. We know that good always triumphs over evil and that God's eye sees all. We are currently experiencing the second day without light, but we are unbreakable because we see the light in each other. Opportunities to witness. Elena and her husband live close to the fighting. Yesterday, my husband saw two rockets flying over his head in the direction of our house. I was at home with the children. The explosion was near, but we all remained safe and sound, and we never considered running away. This may be hard to understand, but in all this, we see God and his mercy towards us. Here in Ukraine, God's presence and love are felt like never before. We see his miracles and his mercy every day. And these are not just words. Paradoxically, this terrible situation helps us to find and do even more works for God's glory and opportunity to testify to God's love. We are not afraid of death. We are afraid of not fulfilling God's plan in our lives. Offering help. It would not surprise anyone if Elena and her people had enough to do just taking care of their own needs. There is no electricity and communication with others is difficult because there is little connectivity, but they still see the needs of others. Yesterday, we delivered aid to the elderly who were evacuated from the east of the country. Today, we have been planning how to buy a house in the village for a family with 5 children who were left homeless because of the war. Called. Elena met our language team coach, Elsa van Vessel, during her stay in the Netherlands. Elsa asked if she wanted to become the leader of the Ukrainian language team. Elena was very keen. She felt called and had the idea that everything she had experienced in her life had prepared her for her work for Global Rise. She did not stay in the Netherlands for long. The pastor of her church in Ukraine had also left and had decided not to return. Elena's husband was asked to become their pastor. Elena returned in order to be able to support her husband in his ministry. In addition, she was keen to commence her task as language team leader. But of course, under the circumstances, this is not easy. Generator donated. In our office in the Netherlands, we have a joint prayer session every Thursday morning. Elena sent a text asking for prayer. Pray for God's church in Ukraine at this time, for our ministers and protection of their families. Pray that God blesses us so that we always have something to bless others with. Pray that in this difficult time, God will show us who needs a hug and who would benefit from some timely advice, whom we are to serve and whom we are to guide, whom we are to help, and from whom we are to ask advice. Yesterday morning, Dutch friends donated a generator for our church. Around 3:40 p.m., the entire city was without power. Today, about 300 people could be warmed and given the opportunity to charge their devices. And this is without advertising campaigns or special invitations. How wonderful that a church in the Netherlands can help in such a specific, tangible way. Will you help by praying for Ukraine? So what I liked about this story so much is that here are these people in this war-torn part of the world, and yet they're feeling God's presence. And I know that's why they're able to respond with love and compassion for their fellow human beings and not just for themselves. They are trusting God to take care of their own needs, and they've been lifted up by God's presence so they can focus on others, which is, as we can all see, just truly amazing. And also very uplifting, right? To know that there's that light happening over there, right? And I'm sure this isn't the isolated incident, right? So the last story is a short one, and it is related to something that Baba Moses said recently in one of his sermons about God's presence. He said something like, how often is it that we choose to just go hang out with God just for fun, just for the enjoyment of it, and not ask for anything, right? And I remember thinking, oh, that's a very good point, right? How often does that really happen, right? It's an awesome thing. So I think it's often a human tendency. We go to God with a request, you know, can you help this person? Can you bless this person? Can you help me? You know, things like that. And so even though we might feel God's presence while we ask for something, we may not go there just to hang out that much, right? Possibly. So I think that this last story illustrates this point very well. So this short article is by Dr. Beverly Medley Jones, and the title is God's Presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, like gifts, or God's Presence, P-R-E-S E-N-C-E. So God's presence or God's presence. And she says at the top, this story should motivate us to ask ourselves why we want to know God. So first, what does the scripture in the Bible say about God's presence? Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." And then Dr. Jones goes on to say, "As a parent, I recall many times coming home and my children meeting me at the door. I've learned to expect one of two responses from them, either, 'Mommy, you're home,' or, 'What did you bring me?'" It looks as though you've heard this. I'll continue in case there's any of us that haven't. I've maybe heard the story. It's an awesome story. "Of these two, which do you think gives me more joy?" You guessed it. Like most parents, I want to hear that my boys are glad to see me before they start asking what I brought them. God feels exactly the same way. He wants his children to seek his presence, not just his presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. Presents are gifts. God wants to bless his children, and he enjoys giving gifts. In Matthew 7, verse 11, Jesus tells us, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask for them?" Not quite sure which version of the Bible, but anyway, we understand what they're saying. It gives God pleasure to give us gifts, his presence. But he enjoys it more when we seek his face, his presence. When we seek God's presence without seeking his presence, we shortchange ourselves. True, everybody likes to receive presents. Presents make us happy. The word happy means feeling contented, pleasure. This feeling is based on what happens to us. Good things happen and we're happy. Bad things happen and we're unhappy. In this world, as good and bad happen every day, to depend on happiness would throw even the best of us onto an emotional roller coaster. God wants much more for us. He doesn't want us to be merely happy, which is temporary. He wants us to have joy, which is eternal. Joy is not dependent upon what happens, but on the assurance that God is with us, ordering our steps. The distractions of life can be obstacles to enjoying the presence of God. There is a myriad of legitimate duties to be performed in the course of a day. We must put forth extra effort to make time and find a quiet place to commune with God. In Matthew 6, verse 6, Jesus says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Sometimes that secret place of prayer is hard to find. Daniel, when he was captive in Babylon, found a place to pray in his house and did not fail to go there and fellowship with God three times a day, even when there was a law against it, from Daniel 6. Even in the face of death, Daniel was faithful to pray. God rewarded him with divine deliverance from the lion's den. We should be diligent to overcome the distractions and make time in our day to pray. Fear or unbelief can keep us from recognizing God's presence. Sometimes, particularly during our most difficult times, we may not be sure God is listening or that he even wants to hear from us. But here is some scripture that describes the opposite. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." God wants us to approach him, just as parents want their children to come to them for the love, attention, and support they need. How do we get into the presence of God? Praise. Psalm 22, verse 3, tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. Praise is reminding God who he is. Not as though he needs reminding, but we need reminding. This is not thanksgiving for what God does for us, although we are also thankful. But praise is acknowledging who he is. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, healer, provider, and sovereign. Finally, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Living in God's presence allows us the freedom to walk in the destiny he has chosen for us. That also includes the presence, the gifts of the Spirit, and the abundant life that only come through relationship with God. Live a joy-filled life, seek God's presence, and the presence will come. Amen. And so it is.